Hey, welcome to another edition of Fish and Talk here with Fish and Frank's. That's me, Fish and Frank, and we have Captain Kale over here and Captain Greg. And we're going to be discussing a little bit about what's going on out there redfish-wise. So what's up with the redfish out there, guys?
I'm seeing a lot of redfish upriver. A lot of small ones are starting to move in upriver. Usually you'll find them in any of the deeper cuts that have a good current flow.
What are you using for bait?
I'm using shrimp.
Shrimp?
The river is still murky, so I want something that stinks. I'm not going to throw artificials. It's going to be live, dead, cut, frozen, whatever, as long as it's got a good stink to it.
But by mid-December, you'll probably be switching over. You can probably use a little artificials up there.
Yeah, a little bit. I like them now. The water's starting to cool down. Most of them are little guys, catch 10, 15 out of a hole. I like the little guys upriver. A lot of spots on them, beautiful looking fish.
Yeah, nice bright coppery gold up there.
Yep.
But
that, you know, dark water is getting them.
Yeah. Now, Captain Greg, you fish mostly out by Cape Hayes, Turtle Bay, in that area?
Well, normally, but this time of year, I've kind of switched over to the east side, and I'll be going up the river and not coming out of the river here directly till May.
Yeah, usually sometime in December, we just kind of grab the river and hang on while we spend all the gas running south.
Exactly. Put 40 gallons of gas in that boat the 1st of December and not put any more in until May. It works for me.
and fighting 15 to 20 mile an hour winds, it just makes sense to
well,
to
it
go
gets
up
you
the
out
river.
Of the out of the wind. You can lay down in the side cuts one thing or another, and even when the wind is coming straight down the river, which it does a lot this time of year, you can get out of it, and it's all good.
So by the river, we're talking about starting at I-75 and working our way up north.
Exactly.
All right, so we've got a river theme going here. I'm going to keep with that. All right. As you're heading up the river, what are you going to look for?
I'm going to look for any cuts that are holding deep water. Of course, that's always going to be your outside bends of the river. But I like trying to get through those mangrove islands and finding small cuts, especially if they've got a big sand flat behind them. That outgoing tide flushes everything off of that sand flat down through that trough, and that's where those redfish are going to stack up.
Now, I find them, and people are going to say, well, where exactly? Well, you can go into the mouth of Shell Creek. You've got sandbars on both sides, all that. But what we're kind of talking about is when you're going along, just pull up on the boat. And this is not going to help you catch fish that day, but the next time you go up, you're going to be able to know if you should fish that spot or not. I'll pull in at the front of the boat, and I take a fishing pole, anything that's, you know, a little longer, and I literally start jabbing it on the bottom and see if there's any deep water in there and stick it up underneath the mangrove branches. You got to do a Lewis and Clark. You got to explore a little bit. Get in between two islands. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like I got...
what I usually use to judge is I turn around and look at my prop wash. If I'm not kicking up dirt, it's a deep cut.
Oh, so you just back the boat in there, fire it up, and if you don't blow mud,
yeah,
you're good?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kale's got more money for props than I do, but...
Well, and the thing is, I mean...
It keeps them sharp.
Like he says, you know, those outside bends are pretty much guaranteed to be deep anyway, just from the wash.
Yeah, but...
The natural flow of the water.
But if you go up between two little islands, and you got two little islands there... And you're wondering if there's going to be good fishing, I just simply stick the nose of the boat in there and start poking around with the end of the fishing pole. Because a depth finder, foot and a half, 2 foot, quits working. Starts flashing, blinks out, and it may not kick on while you go over a 4 foot hole.
Not just that. We're running 20 to 24 foot boats. Upriver, you can look at a difference of 6 feet from the front of your boat to the back of your boat. So what good does the transducer on the back of your boat do you for telling depth when it's only 3 inches in front of the boat?
Kick trolling motor on, run right up in there and stick
around. Oh, okay, it's too shallow.
Yeah, well, if you hear the rah, you know, at least you got oysters there.
Yeah, exactly.
You have prop smacking oyster shells.
One of the things.
Well, I'd rather do it on the prop than the keel.
Yeah, one of the things that I look for, and I think that's why the river is such a mystery. Usually the only people that fish the river are the people who live on the river. If you grab probably 90% of the fishermen down here, whether they're recreational or professional, they're lost above the 75 bridges. You know, they just don't know how to act up there.
Okay. Now, should they do more of a Bruce Willis, or should it be more of a possibly somebody with a little more dramatic?
Well, unless you spend a lot of time on the river.
Acting classes.
Me and Greg, coming from northwestern Pennsylvania, we've got a lot of experience on rivers. Or you have a degree in hydrodynamics. You really don't know how
And the
water
first thing
moves.
You learn about a river in Pennsylvania is not to light a cigarette over the side of the boat so the water doesn't catch fire?
No, that's Cleveland.
Yeah, that's
that's Cleveland. Oh, okay. Wrong state. Sorry, guys. I apologize, Cleveland. Or I'm sorry, I apologize, Pennsylvania. Cleveland, you're stuck. Sorry, buddy.
You don't understand how the water flows down the river. Most people are under the misconception that it just comes in and comes out. And it doesn't.
Wait a minute. Most people wouldn't be under the assumption that would slosh in and slosh out. They would be more the assumption that would
it's
just
going
flow
one way.
It just, well,
but our river's tidal effect.
Right.
It comes up and down with the tide. So until you get way up river, 10 miles, 15 miles up river, you're not going to get that continuous flow. You're going to have tidal effect.
And our river is pretty wide. We've got a lot of obstacles. We've got a lot of bends in it. So what we see is the water kind of sloshes its way down through.
Dinosaur in the background. I can hear Godzilla back there.
One of the places that that's really apparent is if you look at our channel markers between the 41 and 75 bridges, it's not a straight channel. It snakes like a river up through there because that's the way that river sloshes down. So you'll hear a lot of people, I'm catching fish here, but not 10 feet away. It comes down to water flow. That water's hitting that bank and bouncing off, and that's why you're catching fish in that one area and not below it.
Well, and the thing is, I think...
Well, and there's fish in that spot and no fish in the other spot.
Right.
That would preclude catching them in the spot where there is none.
Right.
Yeah, see, I'm catching on. I'm learning this, you know. I only got 29 years in the business.
Yeah.
You got to give me time
You've
to catch up.
Lived on that river for how long? We'll teach you sooner or later.
Yeah, maybe. He is hard-headed, though. It's just tough to get that new idea through there.
New ideas? No, you don't want to go there. But anyway, we've been talking about the Peace River here, and I have no idea what we're doing or why we're doing this, but we're going to have some fun and hopefully catch up with you guys a little bit more about the fishing in Charlotte Harbor and the Peace River, Myakka, about all of Southwest Florida before we're done. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We're going to catch back up with you again on the next one. This is Fish and Frank. And that's Captain Kale over there. Say goodbye, Captain Kale.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Captain Greg.
Goodbye, Captain Greg.
See, I knew he couldn't resist. Okay.
Goodnight,
I was, gonna get, I was gonna get
going
to get one of the two of them.
Yes.
I was going to get one of the two of them. Anyway, we'll see you guys later.